In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, every morning at 5 a.m. while it's still dark, I get up and I walk 4 miles every day. I've been doing that for over 20 years. Now, I love to walk outdoors because I find the outdoors so interesting. However, because of weather, ice, snow, wind, sometimes I'm forced to walk in the gym. Now, I go to a very nice gym, Riverplex, but I hate walking there. Do you know how many times you have to go around that track to get 4 miles in? 35 times. It is boring. You see the same scenery. Nothing changes. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's not a whole lot of people down there walking that you can converse with. I walk in circles, literally in circle after circle after circle. Now, I even have an app on my cell phone that tells me how many steps I take. It automatically records. And I noticed yesterday, I put in 15,000 steps. Over a course of a year, I put in more than 6,500,000 steps. But where am I going? That would be a good question for all of us to ask. Where are we going? When I walk in the morning, I walk circle after circle after circle after circle. And it gets so boring, I could just cry. And sometimes life can be the same way. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you do what you have to do, you come home, you eat your supper, maybe watch a little television or who knows what they do in the evening. You go to bed and you get up the next morning and you do the same thing over and over again. Day in, day out, we're on that treadmill, we're on that circle, we're going around, and sometimes life loses its meaning. It loses its purpose. We don't understand all the time what God is calling us to do in everyday life. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what the disciples are feeling in their hearts on this, the third Sunday of Easter. These disciples are gathered together, and they have seen Jesus twice. They have experienced our resurrected Lord. And now they are sitting and they are wondering, what in the world are we supposed to be doing? Jesus doesn't give them any instructions. He doesn't tell them to go back out into Galilee and re-evangelize people and bring them into the kingdom of God. No instructions. They just simply have seen Jesus, the resurrected one, twice. And now, they don't know what to do. They're sitting, they're waiting for something to happen. Life is boring. And finally, it is Peter who makes the suggestion, I'm going fishing. Now, folks, that doesn't mean he's going on vacation. That doesn't mean he's picking up a new hobby in his retirement. What it means is that he's going to go back to his old way of life. For 3 years, he had been a companion with Jesus. And he had taught people that in Jesus you will find the kingdom of God. But now that's beyond them. It's past. It's over. They don't know what to do. And Peter is tired of the boredom. He says, I'm going back to my old way of life. And guess what? Here is a professional fisherman. And what do they catch that night? Nothing. Not a fish. They can't even do what they're trained to do. They are not finding any meaning, any purpose, any sense to life as they know it. They just don't understand life anymore. And going back to the old habits of life simply doesn't help. Doesn't help a bit. Well, here they are fishing. And in that early morning darkness, a voice pierces the darkness and says, "Children, have you caught any fish?" Of course, the answer is no. Nothing's happening. Just a bunch of fishermen in a boat doing nothing. Well, Jesus says, "Just throw your net on the other side of the boat." Now, miracle number one. They listen. They actually listened to him and did it. You know, if it was a bunch of fishermen today, could you hear them in a boat today? Well, who's he to tell us what to do? We're fishermen. We know what to do. We know how to catch. Who is he? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. No, the first miracle is they listen. And they do it. The second miracle is they have this amazing catch that is just totally overwhelming. 153 fish, and Peter tells us they're big ones. And the third miracle, of course, is the net doesn't break. And so, up to this point, what our gospel is trying to tell us is, you know, into the futility of life, into the meaninglessness of life, Jesus just speaks the word and abundance happens. Miracles happen. Good things happen. Fishermen can now fish. People have found a purpose in life. They can fish. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking only we clergy are called. All of us are called. And that's what's going to happen in the next part of the gospel. You see, they come into shore, and Jesus decides to have breakfast on the beach with the disciples. So here they are. Jesus providing for their every need. Jesus reappearing to his disciples a third time. And then this awkward question arises. Not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus will say, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Really, he ratchets it down. "Peter, do you love me? Do you care for me? Do you even care for me?" You know, guys, when my wife asks me that question, I'm in trouble. When she says, "Do you love me? Do you even care about me?" I'm in trouble. I've forgotten something. Jesus asked that of Peter three times. Do you know why he asked three times? Because Peter had denied Jesus three times. You bring that together, and what Jesus is doing is he's recalling, recommissioning, reordaining, if you will, calling Peter back into the ministry. Even though he betrayed Jesus and denied him three times, he is still useful. Useful for Jesus. And Jesus calls him three times in order to reassure him, "Peter, I know you are broken. I know you denied me. I know you betrayed me, but you are mine. Feed my sheep. Tend the flock." Now, what is that flock of God? Believe me, it's bigger than you and me. God's flock is bigger than the church. You remember that verse, probably the only verse anybody ever remembers about Christianity anymore is, "For God so loved the," what? "The world." Not just the church, not just the select few, not just the good people. God loved the world and gave his son. And now Peter is being called back into that ministry to take care of the church. And of course, that can mean take care of the church, take care of your family, take care of your neighborhood, your community, your world, whatever mission field God has placed you in. And you may be a carpenter, a plumber, a teacher, a physician, wherever you've been placed, take care of the flock, the people of God. Because in this world today, people are suffering. People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. People need to know that God is for them, not against them. You know, so many Bible-thumping preachers will send everybody to hell in a handbasket with their preaching. But remember, God loved the world. God cares for the flock. And he says to you and me, take care of the people of God. Now, I would think God could do better than select people like you and me to carry on the ministry of God. I really think, God, why don't you send your angels? Why don't you send the holy saints of the church? Why don't you send the important people who we read about in the Bible? Let them do it. After all, those are powerful examples of faith. But the Lord says, no, I want you. I want each and every one of us. You're the best that the world has to offer. And I want you to take care of the world. Well, sometimes I think God's made a poor choice. I can remember after 9-1-1, I had a friend who got stuck in Dallas, Texas. She needed to get to Minneapolis, where she taught at one of our seminaries. But you know, after 9-1-1, they stopped all flights. All flights were canceled. So here she was, stuck in the Dallas airport. And it was about a week before she was able to get out. Well, she got out, finally. The first day the planes were flying, she booked it. She got into the plane. The plane was practically empty because everybody was afraid to fly then. And she's sitting there, and one of the stewards come up to her and said, her name's Kelly. Said, Kelly, if you see any suspicious behavior, let us know. If you see anything suspicious, like a package, or somebody misbehaving, anything suspicious, you let us know. Because, you know, the public is the best and first line of defense when it comes to our security. And Kelly turned to the steward and said, if I'm the best you've got, you are in trouble. And I want to say that to the Lord this morning. If I'm the best you got, Lord, you're in trouble. But you know, we preachers talk about, you got to believe in God. Think of the tremendous faith that God has in you and me. Think, he could have sent angels, he could have sent the saints of old, but no, he sends you and me. And he says, there's this great big wonderful world out there. I know it's filled with problems. I know there's difficulties and trials and sufferings of all kinds. But God loves that world. And he sends you and me with a gospel. The gospel message that Christ is risen. He's risen for you. He's risen for me. And he calls us into the ministry. He says, do you love me, folks? Then feed my sheep. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.